Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered." Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to give me strength to preach this message. Give me physical strength and quicken my mind and quicken my spirit. Help me to preach what I believe you've given me today. And Lord, help my listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know that I've ministered in Haiti on and off whenever I could since 1993. And we all know that not that long ago, there was a great earthquake. It's my desire to go back to Haiti to preach the gospel and to do whatever little work I could to help them. Now, I want to make it clear that I am a preacher of the gospel. That's what God has called me to do. I have a few skills. I have, let's say, Yankee ingenuity that is useful in the third world. And whenever I am there, I try to help the people with whatever knowledge or technical ability or advice that I have. I know that the country is in a bad way. I know that Port-au-Prince pretty much has been destroyed. And these people need help in whatever capacity we could possibly think. And I've been involved with fellow ministers in sending aid, relief items, and what have you. And that will continue. But God called me to preach the gospel in Haiti. I will certainly do relief work. I will certainly do physical labor, or help them to construct a church, or whatever they need. I'm certainly happy to do any of that. But again, God called me to preach. I'm hoping to make another trip, maybe in December, January, something like that. Obviously, I've wanted to go since the day of the earthquake, but we understand here in New Orleans about devastation. We know with Katrina, it took a long time for services to come back. It took a long time for even the roads to be passable. They had to drain the water, etc. They had to get debris out of the way. It took a long time for there to be restaurants and supermarkets in Orleans Parish and in Lakeview and what have you. If you needed something, you had to drive to Metairie. But as I understand it, the entire city, or pretty much most of it, of Port-au-Prince, is devastated. And like I said, I wanted to go at the beginning, but I would have been out of place. I'm not really a relief worker. And they tell me, even now, if you want to take a group to do relief work, You have to bring your own water. You have to make sure you have your own food, because these things many times are not available. But like I said, I'd like to go back sometime this winter. I'd like to see my friends, the pastors that I know, and check up on them. But also, I want to see what I can do to preach the gospel. I'm sure I'll have a chance to tour Port-au-Prince. As I said, I know a few pastors there. And maybe their churches are up and running again. Maybe they're meeting in some vacant lot or something. But I'd also like to make it out to Jeremy. And that's about 45 minutes by air west of Port-au-Prince. It's on the peninsula, pretty much toward the end of the peninsula. I spent a night there in Jeremy. We normally fly in to Port-au-Prince, and we may stay at the pastor's house a day or two, but we'd catch a puddle jumper flight from Port-au-Prince to Jeremy, and then immediately we'd find transportation and we'd go into the mountains. And I've told you about La Gombrie and Montagnac. But on one of the trips, we were on our way back and we missed the flight. We missed the little puddle jumper that goes back from Jeremy to Port-au-Prince. And so we had to stay an extra day. And I've told this story, I'm sure, but we went to the marketplace and we had some tracts in Creole and we passed them out and we talked to a few people. But my heart went out to those people. I felt a great burden in my soul and my spirit to care for those people. And if God helps me, I'd like to do some evangelism in Jeremy and in the surrounding area, in the mountains, in the villages, what have you. Please pray for this evangelist. Let me be your missionary. Please pray for me that God would help me, that God would supply my needs, that God would protect me as I'm there. It's generally a rough time when we go, but then there's the earthquake. I'm sure that things are much worse now. But please pray for the people of Haiti and Port-au-Prince and Jeremy, that they would come to God, that in this time of trouble, in this time of uncertainty, in this time of, I'm sure, fear, please pray that God would touch their hearts and comfort them. And as I said, I'm not really a relief worker. I'm not trying to go to Haiti to meet physical needs, although, as I said, while I'm there, I'll do that. But I'm going to preach the gospel. And you've heard me on this station now for 3.5 years. You know that I preach the truth. You know that my doctrine is sound. And you've listened to the messages and maybe your heart has been stirred. Well, I'm going to preach the same thing in Haiti that I do on this station. Please pray for me. And please consider supporting me financially. It takes money to go to another country to preach the gospel. But please pray for me, and pray for the people that we'll minister to, and if you would, please consider supporting the effort. And I'll thank you very much for that, and I pray that the Lord will bless you for it. But let's take a look at what God has for us in Daniel chapter 8. And I won't go over the whole thing again. But Daniel had a vision. He saw a ram, and then he saw a he-goat. And these symbolized the kingdom of Medo-Persia, and then the kingdom of Greece. And just as in chapter 7, Daniel is given a vision, and then he's given the interpretation. But the passage we just read, it says, out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great, etc. In chapter 7, we read about a little horn. And here in chapter 8, we have a different vision, but we see a little horn. And the description of this little horn shows us that God is talking about the Antichrist. And we've taken a look at Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, where it talks about the Antichrist. And we saw the spirit of the Antichrist. In Isaiah chapter 14, it says that Lucifer wanted to be God. And of course we said that behind the Antichrist, and really behind all wicked men in power, Satan is there. But Lucifer, he was a leader in the kingdom of God. But he wanted to be God. He wanted to take over God's throne. He was tired of worshiping God. He wanted to be worshiped himself. And as it says in Isaiah chapter 14, he said, I will be like the Most High. But in the end times, Satan's man, the Antichrist, he also wants to be worshipped. He also wants to be number one. Look at some of the language that's used to describe the Antichrist here in verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, that's Jesus Christ. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And then it says in verse 12 that truth was cast to the ground. Now, this is an interesting passage. In the Old Testament, God told Moses to build a tabernacle. And if you read it in the book of Exodus, he describes the construction of that tabernacle. And later on, there was a temple built. David built a temple, or rather, Solomon his son. But God said that if you want to worship him, if you have, for instance, sin in your life, you need to come to God, obviously, and say, Lord, please forgive me. But that wasn't enough. You had to bring a sacrifice, a lamb, a ram, or a calf, or some offering. And the book of Leviticus tells about those offerings. In the New Testament, Paul tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I want to say that again. The only way that your sins can be forgiven is that someone else's blood be shed. And those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, they symbolized and foreshadowed and pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung and died on the cross of Calvary, his blood was shed for us, for you and me. And I've told this story, I don't know how many times I've told this story, that as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, he shed his blood for you and me. As we trust in him, as we look to him, we can live. It says in the Old Testament, look and live. Not look to the priest, not look to the confession booth. I'm sorry if you're offended, but the Bible doesn't teach confession to man. The Bible says, confess to God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the great high priest. And his blood, his sacrifice on the cross, satisfied the righteous demands of God. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. You've heard me quote this many times. It says, and God is speaking. He says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But getting back to this passage, it says that the daily sacrifice at 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning, every day there was a sacrifice in the temple, or in Moses' time in the tabernacle. Every day. But it says that the Antichrist will take away the daily sacrifice. Now that's very interesting, because there haven't been any daily sacrifices for 2,000 years. In AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And for 2,000 years, the Jews have had no sacrifice. But he says that this vision is for the end times. In verse 16, he says, I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai River, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now that's Gabriel the angel, or the archangel. Also, Michael is mentioned in this book. For instance, in chapter 12, Michael is mentioned, the one that stands for Israel. But Gabriel said in verse 17, understand, son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And in verse 19, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. And in verse 26, and the vision of the evening and the morning, the sacrifices, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Now get this. The temple was destroyed in AD 70. There haven't been any evening and morning sacrifices for 2,000 years. But the Bible says that in the end time, these sacrifices will take place again. And the Antichrist will come and stop them again. I've said before, when we were studying chapter 2, when Daniel gave the interpretation of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, that end time events are not necessarily meant for Christians, but they're meant for the Jews. Salvation is to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. That stone from heaven is coming back for the Jews. In the book of Zechariah, the last few chapters, it says that Christ comes back to the earth for the Jews. I'm a Christian. I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm happy about that. I'm glad that I'm saved. I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But I'm a Gentile. Salvation is to the Jews. Jesus spent his entire ministry preaching to the Jews. But as we understand it, as we study end times prophecy, we understand that somehow, because the Word of God must be fulfilled, the Jews will have their temple built again. The Jews will have a place to worship again. There'll be animal sacrifices in the morning and the evening, and on the Sabbath, and for all of the Jewish holidays. Again, the temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago. But here we find a description of sacrifices taking place, and then the Antichrist coming into the temple and stopping them.
Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that He's done for me. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm willing to give my life.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.